Well, there is a well-known precept in the Bible, and it's the basis for how God judges us today. In fact, it is a principle that is critical for our eternal salvation. And it focuses on how well each one of us does almost nothing. If you will, turn with me to Luke 16, starting in verse 10. Luke 16, in verse 10, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust in true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" You know, we spend our lives doing countless small things. God has made the entrance fee to displaying our righteousness cheap. He wants us to do little things to prove to Him that we can handle, and then we can do great things. And it doesn't take a whole lot out of each of our lives to prove that, to show that. Because He is judging us daily on the minutiae of our lives and the minutiae of the things that we do that show Him that we can do more. You know, it's not required of us to part a great sea, to enter dens of lions, to even perform miracles in order to prove to God that we are willing to serve Him, that we are willing to devote ourselves to Him and not to the world. You know, the small choices we make are either filling up these vessels or emptying them, our human bodies, these vessels of God's Holy Spirit. You know, what we are filling up on has vast eternal consequences for those of us, and that's the key, for those of us who know God, who are part of His and who have His Spirit within them. So why do these small choices that we make every day mean so much? Why do they even matter? Well, if you look a little bit further into Luke 16, verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You know, we were created to become part of God's holy family. It's the reason we are called. Or I guess the reason we are called is to answer that question, whether we are going to serve God or whether we're going to serve mammon. He wants to test us in these small things to see where we're going to draw the line, where we are going to be on either side of that line. You know, Paul once stated that he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He taught according to the strictness of the law, and he was zealous, very zealous for God and toward God. And he went on after he listed qualifications when he was speaking to some of those Jews. He went on to state with his qualifications that he had persecuted true believers to death. He had killed true believers because of that zealousness. At that point, he had no idea who he was really serving, until Christ met him on the road and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" and cured him of his spiritual blindness. You know, Saul was blinded by his self-righteousness, and he served himself. He served mammon. He did not serve God at that point. But Paul could see clearly. Once he was blinded, once he received his physical sight and that spiritual sight, he understood who he should be serving. He understood where he was on that line, and he started serving God mightily. You know, we are blind to understand who we actually should be serving until God opens our mind, until God opens our eyes to the spiritual matters, that we can understand what it means to serve God and not serve man, not serve ourselves. Well, Moses parted the Red Sea. He caused plagues to cover Egypt. And he even saw God and he lived. And after 40 years of leading God's people through the wilderness, it's easy for us to read about those 40 years. It was probably torturous, and it was very difficult to go through that desert for 40 years waiting for trying to find that promise. But after that time, it was a small action that caused him to not be able to lead his people into the promised land. When Moses struck that rock in anger, who was he serving? It wasn't God. He was serving himself. He was angry. He had had it with these people for 40 years, and he failed to serve God as he was supposed to. You know, just because we spend a lifetime doing the same, serving God, doesn't mean that we are immune to failing on occasion. Now, we know where Moses' place is in God's government. So maybe his punishment for that small slip-up, you know, when he wasn't serving God, when he relied on, when his anger took over, doesn't seem that bad in the greater scheme of things. But look at it through his perspective. He spent 40 years of his life trying to reach this one goal. That was his entire focus. That was the focus of his people. And because of one seemingly insignificant episode, he was not able to cross that goal. He only saw that physical reward for his life's work, at a distance. Throughout our entire lives, we must fight the desire to serve ourselves. It's difficult. It's easy to desire to follow after God, to serve God, but we are warned for a reason that we can easily fall back and serve ourselves, to serve mammon. You know, Abraham was considered a friend of God. He was counted in Hebrews as one of the truly faithful patriarchs, one of the truly faithful people to have lived in this earth. And he was the father of countless people, probably including you and I here today. He served God by faith, like very few have in the history of our species. But at one point in his life, he decided to serve himself. He tried to complete the promise that God had given to him by multiplying his seed in his own way, not relying on the faith that he had been known for, or so well known for having. You know, much of the strife that exists today in this world can be traced back to that decision, to the decision that Abraham would take it upon himself, serve his own needs because of that, maybe the waning faith that he might have had to complete that promise. Because of that decision, this world is a different place. There's an incredible amount of strife because of that decision. You know, our desire to serve ourselves doesn't come without consequences for others around us. It might seem easy to let off a little bit, to not completely serve God as we know we should, but it can have consequences to those around us as well. It's not just us that who might fail and who might reap consequences because we fail to follow after God and to serve Him as all of our desires should be. Well, brethren, we aren't alone in our struggles. They aren't unique to those with God's Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4. And I want to read a section in here. It talks about the early church. It talks about us as well. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled for those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we did not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That is what we must always focus on. Serving God glorifies God, and that's what he desires. That's how we prove to him that we can be part of his family, if we are willing to glorify him constantly. And in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Everybody who has decided to live this way, who has decided to give glory to God, faces those things. But that gives us an idea that we're not alone. We do have, God will help us. Brethren, we have been given the same exact tool set that all people with God's Spirit have been given to overcome this world, to not serve ourselves, to not serve man, but to serve God. And that same Holy Spirit will give us the ability, first and foremost, and then it will give us the desire, if we rely on God's Spirit, to submit to him. You know, this longing to serve God and him alone doesn't begin on a grandiose scale. It starts small, and it starts on a personal level. Moses didn't lead the nation out of Egypt until after he learned, for quite a number of years, how to lead a lamb back to its flock. Until he had practiced, and he was out in the wilderness taking care of animals. Well, likewise, if we want to prove to God that we are willing to submit to him, it won't be based upon what we're doing tomorrow, what we should be doing, we might want to be doing in the future. But, brethren, it will be based on the small Christ-like actions that we do on a continuous basis today.